friends. Welcome to the Radical Radiance Podcast. I am your host, Rebecca George, and I'm so thrilled to be with you today for another episode with our new friend, Bethany Beal, founder alongside her sister, Kristen Clark, of the ministry Girl Defined and author of the new book, Not Part of the Plan. When I heard about this new message, I just could not wait to sit down and talk with Bethany because I think we all at times in our lives wrestle with what to do when our lives don't quite turn out like we had expected. And Bethany and I talk all about that today. I think you're really going to enjoy her. She just has such a beautiful heart, and I just loved our conversation. So before we get to it, I want to share about one of our sponsors, the Shine Bright Journal. The Shine Bright Journal is a free 100-page downloadable resource that you can go grab today at radicalradiance.live that will walk you through a lot of the things that we talk about around here. What does it look like for us to radiate the heart of Jesus in all that we do? You unpack that through scripture, journaling, prayer. It's so good. So I hope you go grab it today at radicalradiance.live and help me welcome our new friend, Bethany Beal, to the show. Bethany, I'm so grateful to have you today. Thank you so much for being with me.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you. It's actually perfect timing. My baby's down for a nap, so I've got this chunk of time. Hopefully we won't be crying in the background, but if we do, it's just waking up.
Exactly. And that's what editing software is for. So we are all good. Well, we've been talking for like 15 minutes and I just have been so excited to get to meet you. And I love the work that you and Kristen have been doing for some time, and we've just not crossed paths. So everybody gets to hear like our first conversation of our friendship, which is really fun.
Yes.
And I love when I have an excuse like, ooh, they're launching a book. This is the perfect time. And so I'm excited to get to talk about your new book. It's called Not Part of the Plan, Trusting God with the Twists and Turns of Your Story. And, you know, when I think about our women that listen to the show, when I read the title of the book, I thought, oh man, this is just so timely and so practical that, you know, we'll walk alongside them. So I'm excited to talk about it. And I love hearing the story behind the book, right? Because as writers, we all know, like, you walk into a project and it comes typically from a deep well of something that you went through with the Lord or something you've walked through. So for you and Kristen, I'm curious, why was this particular topic so important to you? And why was it kind of like the next thing for y'all?
Yeah, for sure. So Kristen and I, we come from a family with 8 kids, but we are the closest in age of everyone. So we're less than 2 years apart. So we've done like everything in life together. You know, we've played sports together. We're in all the church programs together. And we've got, it's kind of weird because it's like so many of our experiences are the same, but we're definitely 2 different people, you know, but very similar walking through life. And so it's crazy because both of us came to this point of like really having to trust God, but with completely different things. And it was really interesting as sisters being there for one another. So this all started really about probably 12 years ago now. Kristen and I, like I said, we're only like less than 2 years apart. So we thought our life seasons would kind of go along with each other. But she ended up meeting a great guy and getting to know him. We, you know, went wedding dress shopping for her, and crazy of all crazies, I ended up, while she was wedding dress shopping, even though I was totally single, I thought, well, Kristen's getting married. I'll probably get married soon too, you know? So I ended up seeing the dream of my, you know, the dress of my dreams. And this is the weirdest thing, and most people like think I'm kind of a freak after this, but I ended up buying a wedding dress while Kristen was shopping for wedding dresses.
I have a similar story that I'll tell in a second.
Okay.
That's so good.
She was like all for it. Like, you should get it. You'll never see a dress like this again. So anyways, I buy this dress. I put it in the back of my closet. I literally don't even tell half my family. So my sisters, my mom, my dad, they know. But my other siblings, they didn't know. None of my friends knew. And I keep it back there. Kristen goes on to get married. And I think my story is going to, you know, follow along just like her shortly. Like, for sure, I'm going to marry, you know, meet and marry that dream man. Like, I want to get married. Marriage is a beautiful thing. Like, I want to serve God in that. I want to have a lot of kids. I, you know, this is, God should bless this. This is such a good desire. I'm striving to follow him. And little did I know that that would not become a part of my story for another decade. And during this time of having this wedding dress sitting in the back of my closet and just starting to realize, like, wow, this is not a part of my plan. I did not want to be single for this long. I wanted to get married. At the same time, Kristen, sadly was going through a similar journey, but in a much different and just heart-wrenching way of infertility. And so she's walking through this journey that's completely out of her control. Doctors have no answers for her. I'm walking through singleness. Like, it's kind of out of my control in a sense, unless I want to, you know, settle and just marry some random guy, you know? But we're both like, God, why aren't you giving us these things? These are good desires of our hearts. Like, what is the problem? Yeah. And so for both of us, it was just this, like, we have to surrender. Like, we have no other choice but either to get bitter and upset and turn away from God, or to dive deeper into the Word and get to know Him even more. And so really the book, Not Part of the Plan, came from our journey and our story of both of us wrestling in different ways, and kind of takes you all the way up until the end of where we are now. But, you know, it's like, it's almost like a conversation. Like, we're just sitting across from you saying, hey, like, we have very real unfulfilled longings. We had them. We still have them. We know everyone faces them. So what are we going to do when we experience that? Or we only have so many options. And we both prefer to go down the path of hope and of, you know, being filled with Christ and having that contentment and joy rather than, you know, rejecting Him and just kind of trying to find hope within ourselves, which we know doesn't last. So that's kind of what launched that book into existence.
Hey friends, quick break in this conversation to remind you of something. If you are loving the show, you're loving the conversations we're having, it would mean the absolute world to me if you would leave a rating and a written review on Apple Podcasts for Radical Radiance. When that happens, when more of those happen, the show gets put in front of more women, and in turn, it allows them the opportunity to take part in conversations that will show them more about what it looks like to radiate the heart of Jesus. And I can't think of anything better than that. So it would mean the world to me if you would take just 2 minutes of your time and leave a rating and a written review. I'd love to hear what you think. Now, let's get back to the conversation. Yeah, yeah. And I think that's why it strikes such a chord with me, because so I was 27 when we got married.
Okay.
There's a pretty big age gap between my husband and I. He was 43. When we got married.
Okay.
And so he had walked through a pretty long season of singleness as a pastor, which like, how rare is that to have to be?
Yeah, that's
He was a
crazy.
Lead pastor as a single man for a couple of years.
And all the ladies were probably after him.
Oh yeah, for sure.
You
for
know,
sure.
Like pastor,
yeah.
Like.
Yes. Yeah. So not only did I live, you know, many years of adult life, you know, a good chunk by myself, doing all the things, had my own place, paying all my bills, all the things, but
wow.
But he even more so, right? And
that's
you know,
crazy.
In that season, it is crazy. Your people get married off, like your sister did, right? And your people start having babies. And I was a bridesmaid 9 times before I got to walk down an aisle in a dress that was white. And so my dress story is similar but different to yours. So
no.
I don't know, a month or so before we got engaged. I was with him when he bought the ring. I knew it was coming.
Yeah.
But my friend called me, and she had found this consignment sale in Knoxville, Tennessee, which is where we lived at the time.
Yeah.
And these dress shops were selling these dresses that had just been on the rack forever and hadn't sold. And women could bring their old dresses in that had been worn one time, and they could sell them for just, you know, insane prices.
Yeah.
And she knew, like, oh, that's Rebecca's jam. Like, even if she doesn't buy anything, we have to go. And so happened to be good friends with my boss at the time. So she calls my boss and says, like, hey, she needs to go at noon today.
Oh my
because
goodness.
I'm taking her to this thing. And so she picks me up and we go. And there's a part of me that's terrified. Like Bethany, like, what if I find the dress? Like, what am I supposed to do? You know, like, do I buy it? And so we walk in.
You're not engaged yet.
Yeah, I'm not engaged. And so I pick a bunch and we go back to a dressing room, and I kind of start trying them on in order of how much I love them. Like, I started with the one I love the most and went down from there. And so I loved it on the hanger, but when I put it on, it was unbelievable. I wouldn't have had to do anything to it other than maybe hem it a little bit. And,
yeah.
I mean, it was perfect size. Tags were still on it. It was like
almost
$2,000 dress, and it was marked for
$4.99. Oh, my goodness.
So I go on and I try like 4 or 5 more on, and I'm comparing every gown to that first gown. And so I stood there with my friends for the longest time and I ended up buying it. And,
oh my goodness.
And it was like, so it was the first dress I tried on. And
that's crazy.
I know. And so I love crazy wedding dress stories because mine was not, you know, normal either. So that's so fun.
That's hilarious. Well, I'm so glad that you have a story like that, because most people, they're like, I can't believe you did that. You know, and I'm like, come on. Like,
yeah.
If you were in my shoes, you would have done the same thing.
Yeah. I'm like, I can't believe you went to like 8 shops and it took you 4 months to pick one. That's what I can't believe. You
know? Okay. Well, my part, my story is, I was, you know what, like 21, 22 when I bought the dress. And by the time I actually got married 10 years later, you know, the dresses had come so far and there were so many more options. Like back then, it just like every dress kind of looked similar, but a little bit different. So by the time I actually met my husband, you know, when we got engaged when I was 29, then married when I was 30, I was like, this dress is not us. Like, this dress is not Dave, my husband. Like, I can't imagine walking down the aisle to him in this dress. So I ended up actually buying a completely different dress that I wore at my wedding. And this dress that I got when I was 21, I literally tried to sell it at like resale shops. It's a super nice dress. I paid literally over $1,000 for it when I was like 21. And I haven't been able, like, for whatever reason, it literally, like, no one will take it, but it's like gorgeous.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, God is just like, you know, haunting me with this dress. Like, it will stay there for some, you know, I'm going to use it for speaking or some example where it's going to be my permanent prop. So my younger sisters, they've tried it on. They've brought their friends over. They all try it on. So I'm like, this dress has a special purpose. I don't know what it's going to be used for, but its moment is coming.
Yes, I love that. When y'all go travel and speak to talk about not part of the plan, that can be like your visual aid. I love it.
It's true.
That's so fun. That's so good. Well, again, like I said, I think the thing that matters to me about this is so many women I know in our community have faced similar stories or are facing similar stories in that their life has not unfolded in the way that they had imagined. And so I'm curious, what did that look like for you to grapple with that in, you know, in your 20s and translating that to our people? They could be in their 20s. They could be way beyond that.
Oh, yeah.
You know, what was hard about that? How would you want to encourage somebody that's going through something similar?
Mm-hmm. You know, I think having this conversation right now is so like timely because we know everyone across the world is going through hard things and things that they didn't expect, didn't want. And, you know, it affects and impacts all of us differently and to different and varying degrees, even just depending on where we live, you know, it can be more difficult than others. And so, you know, I know right now that things that are not a part of the plan and learning to trust God, even just with our fear, is something, first of all, that we can all relate to in a similar way, you know. But then even more personally, I think like us as women, you know, there are so many things that can happen in our life that can be cause for like, whoa, like this is not what I wanted. This is not a part of my plan. This is not what I was expecting. Or why, God, aren't you giving me this? And so, I mean, it just starts out first with like whether you, you know, want to get married or family. Like maybe your parents got divorced and you were like, I didn't want that. Or maybe you ended up, you know, your marriage ended up falling apart and you're like, this is not what I wanted. I did not get married thinking that this is what it would happen. And maybe it's something out of your control or a job situation. Maybe you or your husband got fired and you're like, what, you know, how are we going to handle this financially? Or infertility, you know, that I know that's extremely common and or miscarriage. And it's just these things that are literally out of our control. Like we can only do so much. And as far as, you know, medical stuff has advanced, which is amazing. And as far as like there are so many awesome, you know, websites that can help with jobs and, you know, all of this, sometimes there's just it feels like there's nothing left and there's nothing we can do. Maybe you're single and you're like, I've tried all the online dating stuff, you know, like, and or I have so many single friends who are like, I want to get married, but I can't even see other single people. Like, what am I supposed to do? You know, like, I literally can't, you know, even see people. And that was a reality for a lot. So I just want, as you're listening, you to know, like, yes, we get it. We all have that thing in our life that we either are in looking back on, or that will come in our future where we're like, this is not what I wanted. And so for me, I came to this point. I remember there was a particular Valentine's Day, which I know holidays, Christmas, Valentine's Day, just, you know, anything where there's those cozy feelings, or you see people where they're just enjoying those moments together, it can bring up whatever the hurt is, whatever the hardship is, whether it's singleness or anything else. It can really kind of bring it to the surface, just like, wow, like my life doesn't feel as good and doesn't look as good. And it can just kind of bring all that hurt. So I remember I was sitting on my bed one Valentine's Day, and I remember I was just like crying because I thought, like, God, what in the world? Like, I have tried so hard to serve you and to live for you and to honor you and, you know, follow your word. And, you know, like, I'm a friendly, outgoing person. What's the problem? You know, like, I'm not afraid of men. Like, I'll talk to them. Like, I'll go on a date with them. Like, how is this possible? You know, like, come on. Am I just a freak? Like, what is the deal here? And I would see all my friends getting married. And so I remember just having this moment of praying and crying out to God. And Proverbs 3:5-6 had always been a verse I loved, but it really hit home for me during this season and really challenged me and my heart, like, you know, as to what I was going to do. So Proverbs 3:5-6, I'm sure a lot of our listeners are familiar with it, but it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. And so it was a challenge for me in a whole new way. Like, okay, am I truly trusting in the Lord with all my heart? And I realized I'm not. Like, you know, I am trusting God in all the areas that are going the way that I want, that are happening in the way that I planned. But this area of singleness, I'm not trusting him because I'm upset that he's not giving me what I want. And so I had to come to terms with the fact, like, wow, do I only trust God when he is this God that I make him to be and that I want him to be? What about when I want something, but he's, you know, has a different plan for my life? Do I still believe that he's good? Do I still believe that he is sovereign? So I had to really come face to face with that. And I'm telling you, that was a turning point for me. I started to wake up every day and made Proverbs 3:5-6 like a daily prayer in my life, because it wasn't like a one and done sort of situation. Like, okay, I trust you, God, and now for the rest of my life, I trust you. Like, no, it was waking up the next day saying, daily God, choice. I'm so weak. Like, please help me to trust you today. And then just believing, like, wow, if I really trust and believe what this passage is saying, then I can know that God will direct my steps. He's not going to show me the next 20 years or the next 40 years, but I can know I'll wake up the next day and I will know that, okay, he's going to direct my steps and I can see just barely what's in front of me for today. The next morning, I'll do the same thing. And so that's how it feels in life. I think for all of us right now, like, what's going to happen tomorrow? Oh no, are there going to be more lockdowns, or are things going to get crazy? You know, I feel like we're just coming out of this, you know, and so we have to trust in the Lord even with this and say, God, okay, I'm going to trust you to direct my steps today. Then I'm going to wake up and I'm going to cry out to you. And I just want to encourage you as you're listening, you do not have to have the strength to do this on your own. I don't have the strength to do this on my own. Cry out to God and say, God, I am so weak. I am so frail. Like, my heart is so prone to wander and to doubt and just to struggle and be filled with anxiety. Please help me. Give me your strength. Give me your Holy Spirit to help me fight, you know, the lies and to walk in truth and help me to trust you. Give me comfort. Give me peace. And those are things we know that he wants to do for us. So we can pray and just have confidence knowing that God, he has everything that we need. We don't have to have that strength. And even if life continues not to go the way that you planned, you can trust, like, okay, God has the end picture in mind. He knows what will glorify him most. He knows what, if I cling to him during this valley, he knows what that will do for my relationship with him. He knows what's down the road and how he can use this for his glory. So we just have to remember, we only see right here, but God sees what's in the future. And so I just encourage you, don't worry about the next week even. Just focus on today. Ask God to give you the strength to trust him today. That was a game changer for me. And, you know, it's something I still do to this day. I, you know, now being married and having a little son, it's like, I still do that. I still wake up and say, God, help me to trust you for today.
Yeah. You know, this is reminding me of a moment God and I had about a year or two ago. You know, I think sometimes we only see what he's doing in hindsight. And I just had this reminder, or he gave me this reminder of just, like, don't miss me. Like, don't miss what I'm doing in your midst right now. So, so when my husband and I got married, again, like I said, he's a pastor. So we live in South Mississippi now. So I joined him in ministry down here when we got married, but we had both previously lived in Knoxville, Tennessee, which is home to me, has been all my life, still feels like home.
Yeah.
And before we started dating, I lived in this dreamy little neighborhood right by the Tennessee River. I was in an SEC college town, so I was discipling college girls. They were in and out of my house all the time. I ran several marathons in that season, which was just such a dream of mine. And I just had all this time to do all these awesome things, except what was really going on in my mind and in my heart was this longing for marriage. And so I missed a lot of it, right? As great as that season was. And for one of the first times, I had been back to Tennessee by myself, and I was driving to meet a friend in my old neighborhood for dinner.
Wow.
And it was the first time that I had been alone in the space where I used to live.
Wow.
And I stopped right by the river because I just started crying. And I just was thinking about all God did in that season that was so special. And I wouldn't have time for now as a pastor's wife, as a wife, and, you know, in a totally different season. And I just was so grateful for all that I could see now in hindsight that God did. And I just remember praying like, Lord, help me not to do this again. Help me not miss you, you know, in the midst of what you're doing right in front of me. And, you know, as I was sitting there, I was reflecting on this one worship service that I was in. I can remember where I was standing in our church. And this was when I was single. Do you remember that song, King of My Heart, that came out a few years ago?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
The King of My Heart, He's the Mountain Where I Run. The lyrics are beautiful. So we were singing that song, and I loved that song when it first came out. But that particular day, we sang, you know, the first verse, and we got to the chorus where it over and over again repeats, "You're never going to let me down. You're never going to let me down." And I just remember being really honest with God in prayer in that service. And I just remember crying out like, God, I feel so let down. Like I just bought my 9th bridesmaid's dress to be in my best friend's wedding. And zero of me is excited about it. Like I want to celebrate her and I want to love her well, but how do I do that when all I feel is being let down by you? And what God showed me over time, and I see it now in hindsight as well, is I was tying what was happening in my life to God's goodness and His character rather than taking what I know to be true about God and allowing that to transform my heart when it was hard to believe about my life, right? And so one of the things that you talk about in the book that I love is really this tension that we feel in these times, right? So I pulled a quote from the book and it says, rather than viewing God's character through the lens of our circumstances, we need to view our circumstances through the lens of God's character. I love that so much. It matters whether we're talking infertility, whether we're talking singleness, career move, whatever it is. That is such an important truth to remember. So I'm curious, what did that look like for you? I shared a little bit about what it looked like for me, but what did that look like for you in that season? And how would you want to encourage people in that?
Yeah, you know, the main story that comes to mind is actually a few years later. This was actually not that long ago. And Kristen and I share about this in the book. So in Not Part of the Plan, probably towards the later chapters, I think we share this story. But, you know, for almost a decade, her and I walked the season of me having this unfulfilled longing of marriage, her having this desire for children, it not happening. Very different, very, very different emotions that go into that. But as sisters, really loving and supporting each other. And so interestingly enough, Kristen and I had lots of conversations actually about her saying, you know, like, if you get married, you'll probably have kids and I may not. And, you know, that's okay. Like, I will be happy for you and all of that. But it was so far off and just felt like that's something that like will never happen. Like, I'm just hoping to get married, kids. What are you talking about? Like, that's way in the future. So the time came where I did end up getting married to my wonderful husband, Dave. And it's such a crazy story because Kristen, you know, she had two miscarriages previously, but crazy. She ends up getting pregnant, you know, not even through any fertility treatments or anything. And it's like this miracle situation. And she is almost hits the 12-week mark and super sadly, unfortunately, has a miscarriage again. So she is just going through this shocking experience of just like, God, you know, this almost feels like a trick. Like, why would you do this to me? Why would you get my hopes up? And I would have almost made it so far. And now you take it away. And then... Mm-hmm. You know, God's timing is just crazy because I found out literally less than a week after she has a miscarriage that I'm pregnant. And so I am like having these, like, I just felt horrible almost. Like, it was so hard even to celebrate because I'm like, her and I are such close sisters. Like, this is awful, you know, like, it's so good, but it's so awful. Like, how could I ever even tell her? Like, this is just terrible. And so I remember my husband and I, we were, you know, we kind of just like kept it to ourselves, and we knew we would have to tell Kristen and her husband, Zach. We wanted to tell them first because we, you know, felt like we can't let word get out and then they find out. And so Kristen, she shares about it from her perspective in the book, but there was a moment where her and I were on a walk because we work together. And so we were working at her house. And so we love to go on walks, you know, for breaks. And I think she was suspicious or whatever. So she asked me like, any updates? Like, do you like, you know, kind of hinting towards pregnancy? Cause her and I have kind of an open relationship like that. And I just like burst out crying, and she knew right away. And so her and I are just crying. And it was one of those weird moments because we knew, like, we're so happy for me, but this is so hard and so weird. And so in that moment, both of us were like wrestling with God, like, why would you do this? Mm-hmm. Like, I, you know, and I felt almost bad, like, God, why couldn't you have given them this baby? Why, you know, even though I'm so happy and I want this, like, my sister has been wanting this for 10 years, you know, like, I haven't even been married for a year. And so we both had to wrestle in our own ways of what, you know, just how God's goodness isn't dependent on our circumstances and how he has a plan that we can't see, that we don't know. And even that passage where it talks about rejoice with those who are rejoicing and, you know, mourn with those who are weeping. And so Kristen and I had to learn how to do that side by side, not giving up one for the other, but realizing we can mourn with Kristen and what she's lost, but we can also rejoice at the same time. And I have to give her, like, you know, all of the credit. She's such a godly woman. And even though she wrestled a lot with just like all of those feelings of struggle and bitterness, ultimately coming to the point of like, God, you are good in spite of my circumstances. Like, my circumstances don't change your character. Your character is who you say in scripture. And long story short, it's just crazy. And we share this all and not part of the plan. So I end up going on to have, you know, healthy pregnancy. And I give actually birth at home using a midwife that my mom had used, which was crazy.
That's amazing.
It was just a super fun, crazy experience. And it was just amazing. But then shortly after my son, Davy Jr., is born, Kristen and Zach end up right, you know, in the middle of the pandemic, decide that, you know, after a lot of prayer and stuff, that God is calling them to adoption. And they end up during the pandemic adopting two sweet boys from Ukraine. Mm-hmm. And it's just crazy because in that moment when Kristen and I were standing on the sidewalk crying over her, you know, precious lost baby, even though that's still painful and hard and nothing can ever change that, what we didn't know is that God had two boys that were very much alive and waiting for parents in Ukraine. And, you know, they were older, they were 7 and 10. And so it's just insane. And so now Kristen and Zach have had them home for at least about 6 months now. And I just think of, you know, when those two boys were brought into the room in Ukraine with Kristen and Zach, immediately they ran in and they pointed to Kristen and Zach, and those two boys ran over and literally immediately were like, Mama, Papa, and started calling him that. Like God had prepared their hearts, and I have never seen an adoption like that where these boys just literally were like, you're our parents. And they are so affectionate. And the most adorable part of all of this is that now my son, Davy Jr., and these two boys, their American names, Christian and Caleb, are literally like the bestest of friends, and they adore Davy Jr. They always want Davy Jr. over to play with them. And so Kristen and I, we had no idea. We're crying on the sidewalk, finding out I'm pregnant, she's not. And we had no idea that just a few, you know, a year and a half or so later, we would have all of our boys together, playing together, and we would be these boy moms. And, you know, God knew that though, and we didn't. And so even though it's hard and circumstances are hard, we have to know that God always has a plan. And just like in the Bible, the story of Joseph, like even if it's something bad that happens to you, like what man meant for evil, God can use for good. So we can know that if we're seeking the Lord, if we're striving to live for him, that he can even take the hardest, the most broken of circumstances and use them for his glory and use them for his good. good. And that's so encouraging to me as I look back on my life and on Kristen's life, and I see these stories in our book. Like, the hardship wasn't taken away. The pain isn't gone. Yeah. Like, we're not guaranteed an easy life, but we can see as we are faithful and loving and serving the Lord, we can see His goodness is always there. He cares for us so much. And sometimes it's through those valleys that He brings the most beautiful moments. So I encourage you, as you're listening, like, remember, yes, there are hard moments. There are really hard seasons. But God can always turn our like brokenness and ashes into beauty for His glory. And I think there's such hope in that, because if you're not a Christian, what hope do you have, you know, of the future? But like, it's just hard is hard and good is good. And you just, you know, try to make it the best you can for now. It's so discouraging. So that's one of the stories in my life, and I know in Kristen's life, that gives us just like the most hope and the most like renewed faith in God. Like, wow, even though such brokenness can take place, you had a plan all along. And our boys are such a testimony of that. And they are now like a reminder every time we see them, like, God is faithful, even when it's hard.
Oh, that's so beautiful. And it just reminds me of something that I've heard Annie F. Downs say many times about singleness. She's 41 and is not married yet. And she will say, and I think this is so powerful, like, when I see my friend get married, she recently was in a wedding, and I heard her say, I have to come to realize, like, she's not marrying my guy. Like,
yes,
I can go to her wedding and celebrate the union that God has made between these two people who are going to serve Him faithfully for all of their days. I can celebrate what God is doing in them without, and it can also be true that tomorrow maybe I'm a little sad about the fact that I'm not married yet.
Yes.
Both can be true. And I think it's one of those places in life where, like, we really struggle with both, and we really struggle with allowing two seemingly opposite truths to be present in our lives at the same time. And there's just a lot of places where that's true this side of heaven. And I mean, we think about like God's sovereignty and human choice, right? Like, where does all of that mesh out? I don't know. We'll know in heaven one day, but we don't have to make sense of it all. Like, we can feel both, and God is good and faithful and sovereign and at work in both, you know? And so y'all's story is like one of the most beautiful examples I've ever heard of that. That's just so beautiful and gives me so much hope. So I'm just grateful.
Well, it definitely wasn't, you know, it wasn't fun in the moment. It was very, very confusing in the moment, but it's, you know, it's really cool to me also to see like, wow, we, you know, stuck together as sisters. We didn't make each other the enemy, because I know that can be really hard for people too, if they see someone getting what they want. I mean, I was just like you. You counted the weddings. I don't even know. And I'm tall, so I would always catch the bouquets.
I just counted because I was
so
mad.
Many bouquets.
I was, I was so mad about it that I needed a number.
Like, what is it? But I was exactly like you, like, like, how could I be in every single wedding, you know? But, you know, you can either get bitter at the person. And I know people like that. Like, I know people, and I'm not saying like, you know, change what you're doing. I know everyone's, you know, sanctification and journey is different. But I just think that there's so much beauty when you can say, hey, like, that's just like you were sharing about Annie F. Downs. Like, that's not my story. That's not my guy. Like, there's not less in the world because this person is getting this thing. Like, God can bring someone to me if that's His will. And so I love when we can separate that and realize, like, God is doing something different in each one of our lives. And everyone's story is going to look a little bit different. And, you know, just because He has given something to someone else doesn't mean that He is like punishing me, or, you know, it's like, no, our purpose in life is to glorify Him, to live for Him, to tell others about Him. And He, you know, He knows how we can do that best, better than we can. And so I even think of my own life and I'm like, you know, honestly, like, totally true. If I had gotten married young, Kristen and I probably would not have started Girl Defined. We probably wouldn't have written books, because it really was the fact that I was very available and like, I want to do something with my life. And the fact that Kristen was not having kids, that our time was so open and available, like, wow, this isn't what we thought life would look like in our mid-20s. But there was so much open time that we were like, we want to make a difference. We want to make an impact. Mm. And that's where Girl Defined, you know, came into existence, is because we just had this time. And so God, yeah, he knows how we can serve him best. And even though it's like confusing, yeah, at times, instead of looking around and saying, well, I wish I had that, instead we need to look forward and say, God, how can I serve you? How can I live for you right now? And I can thrive in this season. Like, I don't need my circumstances, yes, to change to thrive. Like, I can thrive because I can fulfill my purpose, which is to know you and to, yeah, live for you. And to me, that's so freeing. Like, wow, we can be free to serve so God free as a single or as a married, you know, like, that's incredible, or as a mom or not. And I think that's so, yeah, beautiful that God didn't put this list of like, okay, once you achieve this, you know, status, then you will be serving me. It's like, he can take, yes, someone with, you know, where they think they have no talent, you know, it's like he takes the weakest of us and uses us to serve him. Yeah. And that's amazing. So I just want to encourage you as you're listening to remember, it doesn't matter, even if you're like, wow, I would serve so much better, God, so much better if, you know, A, B, C, D, whatever. It's like, no, God has you right where you are for a reason. Look around, mm-hmm, see the people around you and say, God, I want to trust you. I want to serve you. And if you need encouragement, read Not Part of the Plan. It will greatly encourage, yes, you in this journey. But just know that you can serve God and live for him and fulfill his purpose for you as his child right now, right where you are.
Yep. And he has you planted in a season and in a community around a set of his people that is, yes, so different than right. Like, I live in a totally different community. I'm doing ministry, yeah, in a totally different way than you are, Bethany, but we're both, exactly, a part of the capital C church, and, yeah, God is at work in both of us. And yeah, I just, this just matters to me so much. So I can't wait for my people to go grab a copy of Not Part of the Plan. Mm. Before we go, I have to ask you one of my very favorite questions that I ask all of our guests. So the podcast is called Radical Radiance, which really is, mm-hmm, the heart behind it really is helping women see more about what it looks like to radiate the heart of Jesus in their life, mm, their work, their marriage, their relationships, all those, yeah, things. And God really used the verse Psalm 34:5 to kind of steer me in this direction. And it says, those who look to him are radiant, mm, and their faces are never, mm, covered in shame. So I just love that thought of on our individual journeys of sanctification as, yeah, we become more like him, when we look to him, radiance is what happens in us. It's not the, mm, goal. It's not what we're striving for. It's the byproduct, yeah, of spending time with
it's
him.
It's beautiful.
Right? So I'm curious, Bethany, what about Jesus today makes you radiant?
Mm-hmm. I think that what makes me radiant is actually kind of probably not the typical answer, but it's really been impacting me a lot. I think this past year is I've been meditating and just reading over and over the different passages where it talks about how Jesus came to do the will of his Father, and he came not to be served, but to serve. Mm-hmm. And for me, I have found so much freedom in realizing, like, Jesus, who deserved everything, he came literally not to be about himself, but to be about God and to ultimately give up his life. And so when I have looked at my own family and looked at being a mom and realized, like, my job here is to live for God and not to be served, but to serve, I feel like I've had so much more, yeah, joy and so much more freedom. And it's crazy because it's the opposite of what the world says, but it's just been like that radiance, mm-hmm, kind of like what you're talking about. It's just been like, it's a byproduct of that, of being less about myself. So that's, yeah, something that has been super on my heart. And I feel like I've been praying for more and more, like, Jesus, give me that heart of wanting to serve and not to be served. And that's been so, like, impactful for me.
Mm, that's so good. I love that so much. Okay, before we go, I want you to share with everybody, where can they find you, Girl Defined, grab the book, all the things.
Yeah. So you can head on over to our website, girldefined.com, or we're also, if you're, you know, listening to the podcast right now, wherever you're listening to it, we have a podcast as well, The Girl Defined Show. And then all of social media, awesome, is just Girl Defined. And we would love to connect. I mean, we love what you're doing, Rebecca. We love the podcast. And it's just amazing. Like you said, we're all a part of the church, you know, and we're all, yeah, daughters of the King. We're all sisters in Christ. And so, you know, wherever women go to find that encouragement, like, we just love getting to walk alongside and link arms and point you to Christ. So, yeah, anything we can do to be an encouragement on your journey is like a great privilege to us.
Oh, awesome. Well, I am so grateful for both of you. You wrote a very important book for right now and for our women. And so I'm excited for them to get their hands on it. And I just want to say one more time, thank you so much for being my guest today.
Thank you so much.
I hope you love that conversation with Bethany just as much as I did. I hope you'll go grab a copy of Not Part of the Plan wherever you like to buy your books and go check out their podcast. They are just doing amazing work, and I am so thrilled to call Bethany a friend. And guys, next episode, we have a really special conversation with Maddie Jackson Seligman. If you don't already know Maddie, Maddie is the daughter of country music star Alan Jackson. And Maddie went through a season of grief a couple years ago, losing her husband. And we get to talk all about her new book, Lemons on Friday. And it just was a really special conversation. That's all I'm going to say. I just cannot wait for you to listen to her and to hear her story and hear how God is at work in her, in the messy and in the hard. And I just think you're really going to love it. So join me next time as we sit down with Maddie, author of Lemons on Friday. I'll see you then.